Talked to y'all yesterday morning about how I always love the mornings at camp.
How they're just about the only thing that can make me possibly believe in zombies. That goes for the adults too, amen.
Double.
Because I always love that it's never at the same time. And this week has worked out the same way. Normally that first night, man, everybody's excited. Everybody stays up late. You know, they're talking and hanging out and all that kind of stuff. And then the next morning, they come out and, But the parents and the adults and the workers, they're still going because that was just one night. We can make it through one night. So, man, the parents are like, hey, come on, guys, wake up, be excited. It's a pleasure to be here. All right. See, the next night, y'all learn from your mistake the first night, and you go to bed a little bit better. But it's still later than we're used to. Then that second morning comes along, and the kids are like, all right, I think I'm getting the hang of this. I think I'm doing pretty good. And you look over, and the adults are like, hey, can we go play this? Not right now. So I just like watching how it all interacts with one another. We're going to do things a little bit different this morning. Okay, I got a short video, a short clip I want to share with you guys. Have you ever seen something and you thought that you know what you're looking at, and then all of a sudden a little bit of the circumstance changed and you realize that that was completely different than what you originally thought? It's amazing how easy our eyes can be tricked. And this is just a really short clip. And when I first saw this, I probably watched it 10, 20 times because I told myself, there is no way that I am stupid enough to fall for this. And it got me every single time. Just about 30 seconds or so. So I want y'all to watch this and see what y'all think about this clip and see how many of you can figure out what's going on. So, brother, whenever you're ready, if you can just go ahead and play it for us. Well, technical difficulties. Yes, sir. Cut this light right here. There you go. Let's try it again. We're getting there. Maybe if you can just put it on the slide itself, brother. Not the slide, but there we go.
You see the surface here and the surface there, right? Do they look the same in terms of their color? That's what you see, right? That they look different. What if I were to tell you that they're actually physically the same? Would you put money on it? Would you bet your life on the fact that they are different?
You might be standing.
Do they look the same now?
Yeah,
they look the same. Are they the same physically?
To our amazement and delight, illusions are so powerful that even when we know how they work, we can still be fooled.
That got me every single time.
You see the surface?
I'll see if you can stop it here for just a second. This is the one that always got me. Because, you know, the special effects and stuff and the way tricks are, sleight of hand, magicians, all this kind of stuff. I said, you can be tricked like that. But this is what I want y'all to do. This is what really messed me up. If you can kind of click up here and get this stuff off of it as much as you can. I want you to take your thumb. And you see this white part right here? If you can do it with your thumb or just a couple of fingers. And just cover that part. And then you see, when you cover where the light is shining right here, no matter what you're thinking, because I'm like these guys right here. By the way, they're both the same color when you cover up this part right here. These are both the same. And if you would have asked at the starting that these are both the same color, I would have said, hey, man, whatever you're taking, give me some, because it must be pretty good stuff. There's no way those are the same color. But the point of this whole thing is just how easy it is for our eyes to be tricked. And just how easy it is for us to think we see, and we really miss that. And now, I like that even more. Now, this is one of my favorite illustrations. Because I like watch for, there's two reasons. I like for other people to feel as dumb as I feel. Okay? You can go ahead and go to the other slide now, brother. And then I also love, anytime we do this, and I see a whole group of people going, it's always an interesting picture. But it's talking about the way that we see things. Okay? And we're going to be back in the book of Genesis. But we're going to go back to our theme verse, if you remember what it was. Back to Genesis chapter 50. Back to Genesis chapter 50. We learned a lot more about the life of Joseph last night, what he's been through, what he's going through, everything that has happened, all the kind of weird stuff, and now things are starting to take a turn for Joseph, and we'll get back to that a little bit later. But back to this main verse we've been talking about in Genesis chapter 50, and look at verse 20. Once again, Joseph is talking to his brothers about what they did to him. Because remember, their point is they wanted to kill him. And then they came back off and said, okay, we're not going to kill him, but we're certainly going to get rid of him. Well, I want to be done with this little punk, so we're going to get rid of him. And then Joseph responds, after everything is over, and we're going to learn more about the details later, but after everything is over, Joseph is talking with his brothers, and he says in verse 20 of Genesis 50, but as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it. Stop right there. You remember we learned that phrase, meant it, talked about how God planned, how God orchestrated. God put everything in place. God is a God of perfect design.
Amen.
Okay? But what is the point of God's design? Yes, to lead us to Him. Yes, to lead us to a relationship with Him. But why? He says it right here. God meant it unto good. For me to sit here and start trying to explain to you guys how good God is, it's not possible. I know that y'all already think, but man, you could talk for a long time. You like to talk for a long time. Doesn't matter how long I talk, I'm never going to be able to explain how good God is. Okay? It's beyond our ability to even comprehend. But the point of all the things that God lays out is that He wants us to be able to experience and receive and see just how good He is. We talked about the distractions that happened last night. He wants us to be able to get past all of those things so that we can see His goodness. But before we get to that even, we need to understand as much as we can how all of this falls into place and what all of this means. And so before we dig a little bit deeper, we're going to stop and take a second, and we're going to ask the Lord's blessing on what we're doing this morning. So we're going to pray. All right? Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You today, and we thank You again for loving us. Thank You for Your overwhelming goodness. Pray now, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit would take control. I pray, Lord, that You would teach us and You would guide us and help us to listen and help us to learn. I pray, God, that You would forgive me and cleanse me of any sin or wickedness that is in my life. Lord, that Your will might take complete control and that Your Holy Spirit might use me as Your instrument to teach Your word. Lord, help us to hear from You in every single situation, Lord, and help Your word to, Lord, take effect, Lord, and do Your will in our lives. And we praise You for it. It's in Your most precious and holy name that we pray. Amen. Amen. So in order for our messed up minds and eyes and for our limits to be able to be aware of the goodness of God, how is that going to happen? How does that work out? Well, before we get to that point, you got to understand why it is that we're limited. Because we're talking about a lot of things, but I'll be honest, there might be some of you here who don't understand any of these terms. Talking about being saved, what does that mean? Talking about salvation, what is that? Talking about eternity, what do you mean eternity? What is this all this eternal life stuff, and what does all this mean? So I want to try to, in as much time as we've got, we're going to try to go through all of history, amen? No, but I'm going to try to explain to you guys what we're talking about when we say these things. And now there might be some of you saying, okay, but I know that already. I've been saved. I get all of this stuff. I've already received the Lord as my Savior, so I'm good. Can we move on? You got to understand. Some of the people that miss the goodness of God the most are the ones that are supposed to know Him the best.
Yeah, you're right.
You talk about a bunch of thick-skulled goobers. Read in the New Testament when Jesus is talking to His people. They never get the point. Jesus is talking about something here, and they're talking about something way over there. And you hear Jesus saying, no, that's not what it's about. I'm so glad Jesus is a lot nicer than I am, because I would have said, no, dummy, I'm not talking about that. So don't think that just because maybe you've already accepted the Lord that you're not missing out on some of His goodness. Okay? But let's go all the way back. Let's start at the beginning now. What is all this eternal life stuff? What is this relationship? What is all this stuff about? Joseph and Oak, what do all these words mean? Go all the way back to the beginning. And you remember the first night I talked about how you've got to accept and you've got to understand that God created you, and He created you for a purpose.
Yeah.
Right. Nobody is here by accident. I know that you look around and say, I know, but that guy over there looks like a mistake. I know that you say, all right, preacher, but I'm looking at you, and I think the Lord kind of colored outside the lines on that one. Okay? But if you can accept that God created you, that you didn't just accidentally happen, I want to explain how He created us. So you're in Genesis. Keep your marker there, your finger or something in chapter 50. Go all the way back and look at Genesis chapter 2. You read Genesis chapter 1 and it gives the description of how on the first day God created this. Second day, God created everything that exists in 6 days. And He said, let there be light, and there was light. And He said, let there be the waters, and there were waters, and all this kind of stuff. And in the midst of that, He created human beings. He created mankind.
Amen.
Okay? And by the way, just because in Scripture you see it saying man a lot, doesn't mean that it doesn't apply to you ladies, and doesn't mean that God doesn't value you ladies.
Amen.
That word man simply means humanity.
Yeah.
It means humankind.
Amen.
So don't bother me with any of this, well, God doesn't like women stuff. You hear somebody say that, then just pray for them and say, well, I'll pray for you for being such a special, special person. Okay? But in chapter 2, it goes back a little bit and it gives us a more detailed description of how God created man. And a very important part of that is when you're reading down and of the dust and all of these kinds of things. But look at verse 7 of chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, and look at verse 7. After God had literally taken the dust of the earth and through His miraculous power had made the body of man. But then look at verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And look at what it said. And man became not a living body. The body was alive, absolutely. But it also says that man became a living soul.
That's right.
This is one of the key reasons that we are not, no matter what you hear, please listen to me, because this stuff hurts my brain when people say this. No matter what you may hear, no matter how you may act or I act, or no matter how I might look, we are not actually animals.
Amen.
And you hear people saying, well, we're just another breed of animal. I said, you know what? I might believe that about you. Because if you're going to be that, not an animal. I act like it, sure. But animals do not have a living, breathing soul. God gave us a soul. God gave us a
Amen.
Spiritual part.
That's right.
Why? Why do you think that God made us different, and why did God give us a soul and not animals? He, all the way back, guys, he wants a relationship. But God is not a physical person. Over in the book of John, the Bible says that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So when we are talking about a relationship with God, it's not a relationship like we have with one another. It's not a physical interaction. Had a few nightmares last night about, I believe it was Dylan, at least I'm going to blame him anyway, that hit me right there with a dodgeball last night. And I remembered it, and you know, you dream things in slow motion. And I just see this dodgeball coming at my face and thinking, I should probably move. But I got to about the M, and I say, I should probably move. And I feel the dodgeball kind of wrap around my face. That's a physical interaction. And after that, my immediate thought was, man, that was a good shot. And my next thought was, you look over there for a second. We're going to have another physical interaction. Pegging me in the face like that. You like playing that piano? Try playing with your elbows. Break your fingers. Can't throw too well now, can you? No, I'm just kidding. But these are physical things. These are physical interactions. You're not going to have a physical relationship with God in the way that we think. Because the way that we think is messed up. Look how easily we were all tricked this morning just by some stupid picture. We've got limits. We've got issues. We're not going to be able to interact because you got to understand God is absolute perfection.
Yes.
Amen. Without sin. We're going to be over in the book of 1 John a little bit later, and it says that God is light and in him is no darkness at all.
Amen.
We got some darkness.
Yes, sir.
We've got some blind spots. Some of us a few more, like when you get hit in the face with a dodgeball, you kind of see blind spots for a while. I'll never forgive you for that, man. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm proud of you, man. I say again, that was a good shot. Brother Allen's not in here. Poor Brother Allen, he kept saying, you know, don't hit him in the face. I was like, what's the point of dodgeball if you can't hit him in the face?
That
would have
caused a 1,000 points.
Well, it was a good shot, man. But see, it's not a physical relationship that you have with God. It's about a spiritual interaction.
Amen.
That's why he gave us a spirit. That's why God breathed into us and gave us a soul.
Amen.
So we're not talking about that we want to give you and introduce you to God, give you a physical relationship. We don't have God in one of these back rooms over here. And so when we say we want to introduce you to God and help you have a relationship with him, we're not going to take you somewhere and introduce you physically, face to face with God. But what we're talking about is if you will allow yourself to listen.
Amen.
And hear. That living soul that God has given each and every one of us. If you will allow God into that part of your life. That's when he can start showing you his goodness and his beauty and his awesomeness in the way that only he can. But see, there's an issue that has to be taken care of first. You're in the very beginning of your Bible over in Genesis, okay? Keep your marker there in chapter 50. But now I want you to turn almost all the way to the end of your Bible. I just talked about this passage. If you turn all the way to the end, you're going to see like some maps maybe and some kind of different kind of indexes and glossaries and things like that. The last book in the Bible is going to be Revelation. But then if you turn a few books back, going from back to front, it's going to be Revelation and then Jude. You got 3 John, 2 John. I want you to be in 1 John. I want you to be in 1 John this morning. Chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 this morning. I can't tell you how many times in the entirety of my life, some of my earliest memories as a kid was going out with my dad and knocking on doors and things like that and trying to talk to people about Jesus and things like that. And I can't tell you how many times people talk about having a, you know, getting to heaven and getting some of these wonderful things that we're talking about. And they say that the key to getting there, say, you know what, I think you just got to try to be a good person. I think you just got to try to be, if you're a good enough person, you do the right things, you don't hurt people, blah, 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 then you'll make it there.
Nope.
But see, guys, there's a reason why no matter what we do, a person cannot be good enough. Because it says that God breathed into Adam and he became a living soul, right? That's in chapter 2. Well, in chapter 3, you have our introduction to the devil. The Bible called him the serpent. And he's more subtle than any beast of the field. The Bible said he's more deceiving, more skilled at lying and tricks and deception than anybody the world has ever seen.
Amen.
And he tricks Eve and he deceives Eve. Eve does exactly, you have to understand, when God first created the world, it was perfect. It was perfection. There was nothing wrong with it. The Bible says, and it was good. I know y'all are tired, guys, but I need y'all to stay with me, okay? Because this is probably the most important thing we're going to talk about this week.
Amen.
Okay? So he created Adam and Eve and he said, it's all yours. It's all perfection. It's all yours. Except this one thing, except this one tree, this one fruit. And I'll give you three guesses which one Eve went after. How many of you, maybe when you were growing up and maybe even now, I'm fixing to be 40 years old. And still, if somebody says, don't touch that button or something like that, even at 40 years old, I'm still kind of looking at that button going. Okay, what's going to happen if I hit that button though? So don't hit that button, man, or bad stuff's going to happen. How bad are we talking? Are we talking like end of my life bad or stuff you've got to clean up but something I think is really funny kind of bad? And all these things are going through my mind and I'm kind of going, because we have this nature, if somebody says no, you can't have, we automatically kind of go, I didn't even know it was there before, but now that you said I can't have it. If you'll turn your back for a second, that thing will be gone. Kind of like your parents said, I just made this cake. Don't, my wife, you're talking about something I still do to this day. We'll be having a dinner or something at the church. My wife will make dessert. Said, this is for the church. You can't have any yet. I said, you just watch me. I said, you better hide that thing. And that nature comes all the way back to the beginning from the first man and the first woman. Mm-hmm. And this is where what we call sin comes onto the scene.
Amen.
You know what sin is? Anything we do that's wrong. Anything we do that we're not supposed to do. And the problem with sin is it took this perfect creation that God has created and it corrupted every part of it. I don't know how many times my lovely mother is here this morning. She had a wonderful time when we were growing up, keeping my brother and I clean. Thoughts were, I'll wake up in the morning, I wash, clean myself up, then I'm good till I go to bed. It doesn't matter what I do the rest of the day. I've already washed myself once. How many times a person got to wash during the day? So we go out in the dirt and the dust, and me and my brother, we would play basketball from literally the time the sun came up till the time the sun went down. We get elbowed and start bleeding, fall down and scrape, and we got blood, we got mud caked, we got dirt, we got dust, we got everything. We come in, we come to eat, and what's the first thing our mother would say? Well, wash your hands. Why? I washed them this morning. Because they're dirty, Einstein, that's why. And as soon as we sin, as soon as sin came into the world, everything was made dirty. Everything was corrupted. And because of that, our relationship with the perfect God was damaged.
Yeah.
How many of you have a friend or a sibling or a relative of some kind? How many of you have some person in your life that you are very close to, right? How many times is that person that you love and you care about and you're very important to you, still though, they do something that really makes you mad? And how many of you people, when that happens, no matter what they did, you still get along with them just as well as you ever have, right? Yeah, right, spare me. As soon as they do that thing that makes you mad, I don't... All right, fine. You want to be that way? Or if you like some of us, it's all right. I'm just going to make a list. And that list will never go away. I'll forgive you. Kind of like when somebody hits you in the face with a dodgeball. You mark that down. No, I'm just kidding. We'll get you. But see, guys, whenever we sinned, it hurt our relationship with God. Because of His perfection, He will not and cannot associate with anything that is not perfect, with anything that is not clean. And so because of that, we have a problem. We have an infection, if you will. You think COVID is bad. My goodness, how bad everybody says about it. I'm not trying to make light of it or anything like that. I got COVID, and I'm still here. No worries. No, I'm just kidding. Okay? But the thing that every single person in their life has to deal with, because the problem that happened is when Adam and Eve sinned as the very first human beings on earth, one of the punishments of sin was that that infection was passed down to every other human being that has ever been born. Before you did anything in your life, you had sin because of what Adam and Eve did. So before we do anything technically wrong, we are still unable to have the relationship with God that He's designed because we're dirty, because we're infected, because we're flawed. So what we've got to do is figure out what were they talking about? As soon as this COVID stuff started blowing up, we got to find a cure. We got to find a cure. We got to find a vaccine. We got to find a this. We got to find a that. Don't get me started on all the things. Don't get me started on all of that. We got to find a way to fix it. Well, guys, there's a wonderful thing that you got to know about God. God never has to react to our mistakes. Amen. God's never up there and said, oh, I'm just cleaning up this mess, and now I got to fix this guy. Why do you all have to be stupid at the same time? God's never saying that to us. No. Because there's another wonderful verse of Scripture. I'm going to quote it for you in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11. Maybe some of you have heard something like this before. Some of y'all are still starting to doze off a little bit. Wake up! Okay. All right, just making sure y'all are still here. All right, stay with me. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11, the Bible says, He, and I always heard this verse saying, God's going to make everything beautiful in His time. God will make all things beautiful in His time. God's going to work everything out. He's going to make everything beautiful. He's going to work it out. And it was only just recently when I was preparing to teach this to my own church that I realized how stupid I was. Once again. Because that's not what that verse says. It doesn't say God will make everything beautiful in His time. The verse says God hath made all things beautiful in His time. You know what that means? It's already beautiful. God's already done it. The beauty is already there. And the point of a relationship with God is so that He can lead us to the beautiful and goodness and glory of all the relationship that He has in store for us. But guys, just like we got deceived and tricked and fooled by that stupid picture, we are never going to be able to find His goodness until we allow God to fix our flaws, till we allow God to clean us. How many of you have ever gotten dirt or something in your eye?
Oh, yeah.
Duh. And you're walking around minding your own business and everything's good. We live up in what is called the panhandle of Texas, way up to the north part of Texas. And how many of you have ever experienced it being windy around here?
Oh,
Yeah. No, you haven't. You've never experienced it being windy around here. How do I know? Because I grew up in this area. I grew up in the Metroplex. And then I moved to Pampa. That's windy. Every kind of weather they have is sideways. So what do you mean? It rains like this. It snows like this. It's nice and cool like this. It's melting hot like this. And if you don't, I don't know how, but somehow you get used to it. But man, when we first moved there, I would like walk outside, open my door, and right in the face of dirt. I'm just... It made driving very interesting. Get in the car, start the car, drive down the road. But when you get dirt, when you get your eyes contaminated, it affects the way that you see. And sin ruins our ability to see the goodness and the greatness of God.
Amen.
And so if we're going to figure out what this stuff means, and if we're going to see, just like Joseph, if we're going to find out how God is going to work all of these things out for our benefit, if we're going to find the beauty of God, if we're going to find out His goodness, it's not going to happen until we deal with this issue of sin in our soul. So what do we do? So what do we do about the sin that has infected our soul? Well, I kind of set you up a little bit earlier. Because I told you that everybody that has ever been born has been born into sin. That's true except for one person. Okay? And I'm going to be honest. I'm going to try to be nice to you guys, but some of y'all still falling asleep. And some of you buddies that are sitting around somebody falling asleep need to help them stay awake. Because if not, I'm going to be a little mean to them, okay? Because you got to hear this. The same way that God breathed life into man and he became a living soul, God did something very similar, not exactly, but God did something very similar thousands of years later when he took a young lady named Mary. And I can't exactly describe how it happens because God's too big and God's too great for us. But kind of the way he breathed life into Adam, God put a pregnancy into this young lady. She never married her husband yet, never knew him, no way that she could possibly be pregnant. Heard the Virgin Mary. And that enabled Jesus to be born into a physical body without having that sin nature, which then enabled him to live his entire life on this earth without ever experiencing. He was tempted, but he never gave in to and fell into sin, which then enabled Jesus Christ to pay the payment that we owe. You say, well, now you've lost me again. How many of you are familiar with the concept of consequences? Right? Some of you are like, ooh, expert in consequences, right here. I got that. I know. How many times has an authority said, if you do this, this is going to happen? You want an expert in that kind of scenario? It's that big, shiny, ugly guy right there in the back. Yeah. The one that looks like an older, bigger, uglier me. I say, boy, I don't know why they bothered naming us. Because me and my brother were never, it never was. Now, Joel, never was. Boy, you do that again, I'm going to whoop you. Okay, Dad. And then as soon as Dad wasn't looking, right back to it. And then I would see this massive eclipse come over behind me. And I would know that he saw me. My mom was a little more ninja about it. She wouldn't have to sneak up behind me. She would say, she would call me by my name. She'd say, Joel, you do that again, your father's going to give you a whooping when he gets home. So, okay, Mom. And then she'd turn around, He's not here now. What do I got to worry about? I get right back to it. See, she never snuck up behind me. I could just feel her from across the room. And then I would turn around, and there was that look on her face. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about when your mom gives you that look. And you're sitting there doing something, all of a sudden you just kind of go. Oh. And you turn around. The one that always got me, and I see my wife do it to our kids, and I still don't get it. I still don't know how it works. Not even looking at me. Not even looking at me. I know everything. I've got eyes in the back of my head. I was like, now I know that's not true, but you still know. And as soon as that happens, there's consequences. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, it says the wages of sin is death. That's not just talking about the death of our physical body.
That's right.
You remember we talked about the way to destruction and the way to life. If you die in your sin, there's not only death, there's eternal destruction and burning and torment in hell, completely and totally separated from God.
Amen. That's right.
But see, right after that it says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes. See, after Jesus Christ lived a sinless life, He gave Himself to pay the price and the punishment for our sin. He died the most brutal, horrifying, grotesque, mutilating death that any human has ever suffered or ever will. Because that's what was required to pay for our sins. And so because of that, He offers us the free gift of salvation.
Amen.
And all we have to do is say, you know what? I don't know how it works. Because I'm going to be honest. I get up here and I talk forever. Get Brother Daniel to come up here. Brother Earl. Get Brother Pastor Jim. Get my dad, Pastor Chuck Osborne, to come up here. And we could all talk. And trust me, man, we could talk for a long time. So you got a respectful church, brother. I was expecting to get a resounding amen and say, oh yeah, he can talk for a long time.
I'm not giving it up.
Yeah. But see, when the reality comes down to it, we can give you all the fancy words and we can explain all of this. But we can't literally explain to you how God takes this and turns it into salvation and turns it into a person worthy of His relationship. But this is how God describes it. In Romans chapter 10, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, that's what this is what that means. So you know what? I don't know. I'm not sure how it works. I'm not really sure how all of this means. I'm not really sure what all these words mean. But I believe that this Jesus person, I believe He was real.
Amen.
Yes.
That's right.
Amen. And you know what? I don't really know entirely what it means about that He paid my price, but I believe that He loves me, and I want to know more about Him.
Yes.
And I want to find out more. If you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and then believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, because see, He died for us, and then to prove to us that He's stronger than sin and that He's stronger than even death, He came back to life.
Amen.
And you say, how does that work? I'm going to tell you real quick. This I can explain. How in the world did the resurrection work? It went just like this. Uh-huh. Because I can't explain the magnitude and the majesty of God. I can start giving you some idea and I can explain some things about it. But in reality, we're never going to be able to grasp just how big and how great God is.
Right.
So you've got to be able to just believe that it's true.
Amen.
You've got to be willing to say, you know what? I don't understand and I know I don't understand. But something inside me is saying there's something different about that, and I think it's true. And I'm willing to believe that that is true. And I'm willing to believe enough to say, show me more.
Amen.
And then when you're willing to do that, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, The Bible says, thou shalt be saved. Because the Bible said, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but this is key. There's a lot of people, the vast majority of people that you come into in your life. Now it's becoming more and more popular, but very few people in your life are going to be able to say, well, I don't believe in God at all. I don't believe. They're going to believe in something. So it's not just enough to believe in your heart. Say, yeah, I believe in God. That's not going to get it. It said, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with confession. With confession, it's made into salvation. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. This is what that means. That means that literally the only thing you've got to do in order to receive salvation is to ask for it. Just a few verses down, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
And maybe you're sitting there saying, well, how does that work? Just like resurrection. Again, I could spend some time giving, but in reality, you know how it works? Because God said it works.
Amen.
And you know how it works? Because I can sit here and tell you this. Now, I mess with you guys a lot. How many of you have already had me pick on you this week? Of course you have. Of course you have. With all the love I can muster, let me say this. Brother Daniel, nobody cares, brother. Just keep your hand down, all right? But I hope that by now you also believe this. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm not going to stand up here and say, I'm going to be honest, I'm not going to stand up here and say something, just try to get you to like me or try to get you to, you know, think that I'm a good speaker or think that this is cool. Some of y'all have been complimenting me, and I thank you so much for that. That's wonderful. That's amazing. And I thank you for it, and I appreciate it, and I love it. I really do appreciate it. But at the same time, just like Joseph said, I'm not here to do this entirely for you.
That's right.
Joseph said, how can I sin against God? I'm here because it's where God wants
Amen.
Me to be.
That's right.
And I can't be here doing what God wants me to do and be dumb enough to waste my time lying to you. So I can tell you that this is real and that it works. How do I know? Because I've seen it in my life. I've seen it. I've done it. I know how disgusting and wicked and evil, more than those people you there even know. Some stuff that y'all don't know about that I'm never going to tell you about. There's stuff that nobody knows about except me and God. That is so shameful in my life that I probably won't ever be able to tell anybody some of the stuff that I've done and some of the stuff that I've been through. But God knows exactly what it is. See, the Bible tells us that God looks on our heart. We like to look good, right? Some of us can't do anything about it. We just do the best we can. But we like to have nice clothes. We like to... And y'all all saying, psh, no, I don't care. Oh, spare me. There's a couple of you. I know how long y'all spend in the bathroom, so don't tell me y'all don't care how you look. See, I'll walk up to the mirror and I go, what's the point? And I just kind of keep going. It doesn't matter what this looks like, guys.
That's right.
It doesn't matter how good all of this is. This is pointless.
Yes.
Because the Bible says man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on your heart.
Amen.
God looks right through all of you down to the very depths of that soul that He breathed into you. Yes. And that's the part that God cares about.
Yeah.
That's right.
I asked you to turn to the book of 1 John, and I want you to look there with me. 1 John, we talked about chapter 5. 1 John chapter 1, we already talked about verse 5. Y'all stay with me, we're almost done. Verse 5 said, this then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. It's using light and darkness as one of the many illustrations that are used in the Bible to describe God's perfection against our sinfulness. Goodness against wickedness. Purity against corruption. Light against darkness. God is light. God is perfect. And in Him is no imperfection of any kind whatsoever.
That's right.
So look at verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship, That's one word you probably heard this week. What in the world is fellowship? Was I talking about some kind of boat? What is fellowship? In today's terminology, you might say hanging out. Just spending time, getting to know one another, being around each other. So if we say in verse 6, if we say that we know God and we spend time with God and we have a relationship with God, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, and then look what it says, and walk in darkness, or we walk in sin. Now everybody look here for a second. Everybody look at me for a second. Anybody ever called you a liar? Right? How many of you that made you, you know what? Man, I appreciate that. Thank you, man. I've always wanted to be called a liar. Yeah. How many of you got mad when that person called you a liar? I don't like being called a liar. You call me a liar, I'm going to say, hey, let me introduce you to my buddy Dylan, and you stand real still while he gets that dodgeball. I hope that was you, because if it wasn't, this just totally kills all this stuff I'm talking about. I'll be honest, that moment was kind of fuzzy, so I don't entirely remember who hit me in the face. But whoever it was, again I say, good shot. But what the Bible says here is if we say that we have a relationship with God, we say that we know Him, we say we have fellowship with Him, we can say whatever we want. But what does it say there? And then we walk in darkness, and we walk in our sinfulness, and we walk in our corruption and our filth. The Bible tells us we lie and do not the truth. You can be really good at lying.
Yeah.
I'm going to admit, if I'm not careful, I can get really good at it. I can be very convincing. I can convince people of a lot of different things. Yes, I know you just heard a foreign noise, but stay with me. It's not a big deal. Stay with me here. I love our attention spans, and it doesn't change when you're an adult. Somebody shifts in their pew. Heaven forbid there's a cell phone or somebody has to go to the restroom. That's my favorite. Somebody gets up and goes to the restroom. Okay. They're just going to the back of the building. Just relax. It's not a big deal. It doesn't matter. Same way that you teenagers think that just because you get your phone out and do this, you think we don't know what you're doing.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Some of you are saying, you know what that is doing? Let me explain it to you this way. Oh, dodgeball flashback. No, I'm just kidding. But guys, listen. We can say whatever we want.
Amen.
But if we've never taken care of the sin that's in our soul, you've got no part of God in your life. All of this love, all these amazing things, all of this greatness. That is God. All the wonderful things that He can show you. You've got no part of it. Because you've never dealt with the issue of your own sin.
Yeah.
You say, well, I think I'm okay. You know why you think that? Because across, remember the sheep? You know why you think you're okay? Because the devil's here. Hey, don't listen to that. Hey. You're all right. Just relax. You're okay. And remember our sheep? Every single one of us, we're dumb. And so we say, duh, okay. I think I'm okay. I think I'm good. The infallible truth of the God who created the universe and holds it all in balance and knows the name of every single star says if you've never dealt with your sin, you're not okay.
Amen.
And if you don't do something about that issue of sin in your soul, you're never going to have any part of a relationship with Him. And you're going to miss out on an indescribable amount of beauty and amazement and glory. You say, what does glory mean? Come, let me tell you. And let me show you how to find out for yourself. And then how does that work? Yeah, but I'm still sin. I still got wickedness in me. Look at verse 7. But if we walk in light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship. We have a relationship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, what does it say? Cleanseth us from all sin. Verse 8, stay with me. If we say we have no sin, and this is the worst part about that lying. If we say that we have no sin, the Bible says we deceive ourselves. You're not fooling me. You're not fooling God. You're lying to yourself. We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess, but then here it is. This is what all boils down to in verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And once again, the Bible says, He will cleanse us, wash us, purify us better than hand sanitizer. He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you know what that means? At that moment, when we allow Jesus Christ to cleanse us, how does that work? But when we ask Him and He cleanses us, at that moment, we experience for the first time absolute perfection. How many of y'all, if I were to tell you, how many of you would you believe if I told you, I am perfect? Not one? Oh, my mom just made it creepy. My mom just said, I believe it because I love my baby boy. Things that make you go, no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But guys, listen. At that moment when Jesus Christ cleanses us for however short a time that is, we are perfect, which enables from us a relationship with the perfect, holy God. Amen. But not until you deal with your sin.
Yeah.
All this stuff, God means it to work together for good. The Bible says in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together, the good and the bad, the fun and the painful, the joy and the sorrow. It all works together for good. But only to them that love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. If you want to be able to see correctly, if you want to be able to avoid the deception and the tricks, if you want to be able to know what God is really like, you've got to deal with your sin.
Amen.
And then He can make it beautiful. And then you can find out and you can see how no matter how the world means it, God meant it for good. Okay, you're here this morning and you know. All right, preacher. That's all great and it sounds good and I always love hearing it, but I'll be honest, I've done that already. I've got that. But you know what sin still does? You ever worn sunglasses or glasses of any kind? Man, I'm going to wear this dodgeball illustration out, man, I swear. Because I came to breakfast this morning, and as the light was shining, kind of like that screen is doing there, as the light was shining on my glasses, I was, man, that's some... did one of these numbers, and you know what I found all over my glasses? Not fingerprints. I found a nice face print all over my glasses. I had to clean my face off of my glasses, because when that ball folded around my face, it smushed them up against my head. So I had to clean those off so that I could see clearly. You know what we all are really good at? I'm saved, so I'm good. And then sin just starts working its way into our life. And sin and sin and sin. And without even realizing, our vision starts getting cloudy. Our eyesight starts getting smudged, and before we realize it, we can't see God as clearly as we used to. And you know what sin does once again? Even though we're saved, it robs us of God's goodness because we as His people are still not dealing with our own sin. Saved, not saved, what we need to do is confess our sins so that He can cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is what would means. And then that soul that He's given us, We keep mentioning eternal life. Where are you going to spend eternity? Because I'm going to be honest, this isn't going to last.
No.
Hallelujah. Because I remember what it was like being able to go all day long and not even blink. That is no longer the case for me. I'm starting to experience what it's like to wake up and have something hurt that I didn't even know that I had.
Yeah.
And have no idea why. This starts breaking down, and this starts wearing out, and this starts wasting away. I say, you got a long way to go before you're wasting away. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about this body is going to go away. But that soul that God breathed into you, that soul that God breathed into man, is going to be somewhere for the rest of eternity. So the question you have to ask yourself is, do you want to end up in the actual presence of Almighty God and the glories of all heaven for the rest of eternity? Or do you want to spend the rest of eternity wasting away and burning in the fires and torment and horrors of hell? Because you're going to spend the rest of eternity in one of those two places if you don't deal with your sin. It's going to send you right to hell. But you know what, Christian? The Christian life is not only about where we end up. God wants beauty and greatness and glory and wonderful things for us right here and right now. The Bible says He's come that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. God wants good things for us, but we're not going to be able to find those good things if we don't ever deal with the sin that's holding us back. So the question is this morning, are we going to confess? Are we going to keep lying to ourselves that we're okay? What's your response to your sin this morning? Because that's what's going to enable you to see the picture for real. That's what's going to enable you to fully see God's goodness. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. I'm going to ask musicians, I'm going to ask brother to come lead us in a song. It's not complicated, and you don't have to understand it fully right now. That's the key.
That's right.
People think that they've got to understand everything about it. I've been saved since I was a young boy, and I still don't understand all of it. I've been a pastor for 10 years, and I'm still figuring it out. Brother, Pastor Jim, my dad, has been a pastor for how many years?
A long time.
And they're still figuring it out. It's not about understanding it fully right now. It's just being willing to say, you know what? I believe it.
Amen.
And I'm willing to let it change me. We're going to pray. You figure out what you want to do with your own sin. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You today. We thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your love. We thank You, Lord, for enabling us to know You. We thank You, God, for giving us an answer to our own horrible infection of sin. God, I pray that You would help every single one of us this morning to cry out for Your cleansing and to deal with our sin, that Your will might be done in us. And God, we thank You and praise You. It's in Your most precious and holy name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and lead us, brother.
Oh, number 281. Number 281. Pass me not, O gentle
things. Amen.
Notice that in the midst of saving all these things, it said, hear my humble cry. This doesn't just magically happen, but the only thing that God does require of us is that we call out to Him, that we ask Him.
Amen.
If you want God to do it, You've got to be willing to step out and face. It's going to be uncomfortable. You're going to think, I can't. That's those distractions of the devil.
Yes.
Call out to him. There's not a person in this room that will not be overjoyed beyond measure to be able to help you find this out for yourself.
Amen.
Call out to God and let him save you. You say, I'm saved already. That doesn't mean you can't be overwhelmed by sin. Call out to God and let him help you. Sing another verse, brother.
Thank you.